Well, hello, everybody. My name is Mark Boyle, and thank you for watching and listening to The Mark Boyle Show. Today, I want to talk about the ever-famous social media meme that I hear about all the time, and I've talked about quite a few times, is, when that day comes, will you stand? And I think most patriots would say, yes, I'll stand. That's what we do as patriots. And America's always been good at that, and a lot of countries are, that when there's a crisis, a national crisis, or a problem, or a war, patriots and patriotic people do stand and fight for their belief structure. Many people back in the day, 1700s, stood and fought against the King of England and from the Highlands and Scotland, France. They all fought and stood for what they believed to be right or just, but also so did England, because they had their patriots that believed that what they were fighting for or against was also just. So most people that love their country, their homeland, their families will stand when that day comes. My thought has always been, when that day comes and you do stand, what will you be standing for? Because see, back in the day, you know, the English soldiers, even during the Revolutionary War, were fighting for what they believed was correct. They were defending the king and the colonies, and they thought this was wrong, that what we were doing with the Declaration of Independence and arguing with taxes and all that. So they were fighting and standing for what they believed to be proper. And the founders and the people that fought in the Revolutionary War were fighting for what they believed in. And they were standing for a new form of government. And so it's not a question of will you stand. It's when you make that decision to stand, where are you standing? Because thousands, hundreds of thousands of people can all stand at a certain point in time. But where are they? You know, if one guy is standing over here and one guy is standing over there, just like I talked about in last week's episode about Lavoie Finicum. He was standing. He was over there. And this really calls into question, when people stand, what are they standing for? So a lot of people stood to defend Lavoie Finicum, and a lot of people stood but then changed their mind, because I guess the notion of what was being asked of them to do didn't fit inside their structured agenda or mindset or belief structure for what they were willing to stand for or against. So throughout history, people have stood, people have died, there's been wars, wars have been won, and wars have been lost. But it's kind of like a big football game. Each team is in the locker room and they all say their prayer, and they have a father or a priest or whoever come in and ask that they are victorious and that they have good sportsmanship. Well, as a god, he probably sits there and goes, well, you know, I kind of like both teams, so I can't get in the middle of this, because I'm going to help you be good sportsmen, and I'm going to help them be good sportsmen, and I'm going to help you not be sad if you win or lose or bad sportsmanship or whatever. But it's not like he can pick a winner. So you see that they're on the field playing the hardest for a victory, and they've chosen to be on that team because, well, the paycheck's probably better than the other team. But if you equate that to, you know, a revolution or the crap hit the fan collapse in America or in your country, where will you be standing? And what agenda will you be fighting for? And to sit there and go, well, we've got God on our side, maybe not so much, because he probably doesn't get involved in the micromanaging of his 7 billion children that are on the earth right now. So he leaves it up to individuals to make that choice and to stand in the correct spot. So where you stand and where I stand on a particular issue, we might be on the same page, but in a different book. So you're on page 59 and I'm on page 59, but I'm reading a different book. Just like in the sports analogy, you're running different plays. It might be the same play, but one's offensive and one's defensive. Same play. Maybe same page of your playbook. It's just not the page that's in their playbook. So I think it's critical for people to understand that it's not just a matter of whether you stand. It's having the right values and beliefs of what the big picture is, the overarching game plan. Because you could run out into the battlefield and be shot and die. And then come to find out you were on the wrong side of history, or you were on the wrong side of that event, that agenda. So it's not about will you stand. It's about where you stand. So I want to talk about that, because in all of my reading and study, even listening to fictional books, there's always a leader that rises up, maybe good, maybe bad. It's not the point. And people will follow that leader because he's good at leading, I guess is the only way to put it. People follow his agenda. And that leader might start to become overzealous about religion. And now that he's got a million man army or whatever, and he's taken over 3 or 4 states, because we're talking post-apocalyptic stuff here, he now all of a sudden starts becoming a Puritan, like in the movie with Demi Moore, The Scarlet Letter. You know, because the original settlers in America were Puritans that had come over from, I think, Holland or somewhere to escape religious persecution, because obviously their leaders had a different kind of an agenda for what people were supposed to believe in. So I'm sure it wasn't that bad there. If they would have just followed the rules, they would have been okay. I mean, they had homes and schools and food and shelter and farmland. There was no difference. They just wanted that one part of the vision or the dream that they had to where they had religious freedom. So they came over and created the colonies. That was before the Revolutionary War by a couple hundred years. Yeah, I'm thinking it was that long ago. So then they became Puritans and they had their own agenda. So if you came over back then and you had a different belief, then you might get marked with a scarlet letter. Well, then did they create religious freedom? No, they escaped one taskmaster and created a new one, a new leader or group of leaders that now followed a different set of principles. And therefore, they had achieved their goal of religious freedom from a different group that had a different form of religious freedom. But they did not create an environment where there was religious freedom. And even during the time of the Constitution ratification, when they were hammering out all the details, that's why it was important to separate things like church and state. Now, it didn't say that there would be no religion. It just said the government couldn't make mandatory a specific kind of religion in any of the colonies or any of the new states or in the Constitution itself. They didn't want an iron fist of now what we call the federal government to say, you must be a Baptist to be a congressman, and you must be a priest at this level to become a senator, because that would be a violation of church and state. So if you understand what they created in the Constitution was more of a religious freedom by putting in to the Constitution, thou shalt not, basically, Congress shall make no law that abridges or takes away your right to exercise your religious freedom. You can still run for president whether you're a Catholic, a Mormon, a Jew, a Christian, Presbyterian, does not matter, as long as you're an American and you love America. So that was, you know, people will sit there and go, well, that's messed up. Well, it's the way it was. That's how freedom is. And that's how it came about through the Puritans going, we want religious freedom as long as it's our religion. So when you stand and you join a group, a team, a militia, whatever, there will be leaders. You will take orders. And those orders might run contrary to your beliefs. Well, then where are you standing? Well, obviously on the wrong side of the fence. So you have to carefully consider your options of when that day comes, because it will come. It's just, we don't know when. But just like anything, it gets too heavy to sustain itself on its foundation, even though it was a good foundation, because there's too much heaped on top of it. And that could be laws or ordinances or whatever, revised statutes. But eventually it gets a lot of weight and it sinks or falls over or crumbles. And so America will crumble also, because that's history. Great nations have risen and fallen throughout time. Rome had a lot of freedom at one time. They were kind of like what we are or were, let's say, 100 years ago. Very free. They had a representative government, and it worked pretty good. And then it got corrupt, and it got big, and it became not as important to become a citizen of Rome and to believe in the dream that was Rome and the Republic, as they called it, which it was a republic in the beginning. So it fell. And America will collapse. There's just, it's physics, okay? It's the physics of chaos. Out of chaos comes order, out of order comes chaos. So it will. We don't know when, and we don't know what the trigger point will be. Could be economic, it could be an EMP, it could be war, it could be famine, it could be plague, it could be a million things. And of all the things we don't even know yet what could cause it, it could be a simple little straw that broke the camel's back. But it will happen. And at that time, there will be chaos and just a bunch of crazy people running around trying to establish order again. And they will come to you and ask you, where do you stand? Pick a side. And they might be preaching good things. Yeah, yeah. Religious freedom. Yeah, yeah. And then you create a new society that offers no freedom of religion, just like the Puritans. So you don't want that. You don't want that to happen, because it's just, one, it's a bad thing. And two, you don't want to be found wanting on the wrong side of an issue. So to me, the question is, where do you stand? Not will you stand? We will all probably stand, and in some way, we won't really have a choice, but we will stand. Where you choose to stand will be up to you, and how you feel or what you feel is important. Now, because America has a constitution, and it was set up perfectly, don't deviate from that point of mine. The constitution was perfect. It had been created over 700-800 years from many constitutions that England had had. And then the kings would violate it and they wouldn't follow the rules, and then there'd be an uprising, and off with his head. And then they would write a new one. We had the Magna Carta and lots of constitutions. And the founding fathers at the time in the 1700s knew history. They weren't like us. They actually knew history. They read because they didn't have the internet. They read books and books. They went to school. You know, they were college graduates at 16. They weren't stupid. And they took all of the best of all of those constitutions. And they realized that the one thing that always caused all of them, no matter how good they were, to finally not work, and not over hundreds of years. Sometimes it was, you know, 50, 70 years and it didn't work. They found that the people needed true representation, and they created a representative republic. And that was their add-on that made it perfect. Now, I wouldn't say that any of our scholars today could come up with anything 100th as good as the founders did. It may be able to be tweaked a little bit. So when it falls, we're all going to want to go back to a constitutional republic. We'll want the dream that once was. And so that dream, that constitution, the way it's read and interpreted today is far different than the way it was written and interpreted then. Because make no mistake, every word in the constitution was weighed and measured. They really thought about the meaning of every word, and whether you put an and or a they or a the or a comma or a question mark or a period. It was all thought out grammarly or grammarically, whatever, to be perfect. So that way it could not be misunderstood, the true intent. They wrote the Federalist Papers to tell what each article and amendment meant and how it was to be ratified. And other people wrote parts of the Federalist Papers in contrast or like a debate, to where all the people knew what they were signing on to. And that went on for a long time. And eventually everyone said, this looks to be as good as it's going to get. Of all of the cars you can pick, this one is engineered to run the longest, run the smoothest, less maintenance. This is the car I want. So it was perfect. And so when you're asked to stand, will you stand for that or a bastardized version of what that once was? So I'm going to take a break, and then we'll kind of go into what I'm talking about on this, because I've seen it with many people. I've talked to preppers and militia leaders, generals and colonels out on military base. I know a lot of these people. I associate with them in business. And when you talk to them, and you really start to drill down, if they'll open up a little bit, you'll see that they have the vision, but it's kind of foggy. And they don't understand either, because 240 plus years or whatever is a long time since it was ratified and figured out, hammered out. So we will kind of look into some of the things that you may be asked to stand for and maybe help clarify what you should be looking for. So we'll be right back.
Hi, this is John Jeffers, inviting you to listen to my show, The Jeffers Brief. You know, on The Jeffers Brief, we discuss topics of interest and concerns for preppers and patriots. You can only find us on the Comptroller Radio Network on podbean.com or KYAH 540 AM, Utah's Talk Authority. Hope you join me, and we'll talk to you then.
So let's talk about some of the things that maybe we should consider before we jump up and say, I do, and stand. On a big picture, we have the commander-in-chief. Did you know that the president is not the commander-in-chief unless Congress declares war, an actual declaration of war? Then he becomes commander-in-chief. How do you feel about that? if a commander-in-chief were to enact martial law and you were a soldier, would you follow orders coming from the commander-in-chief? That would be unconstitutional. Because when a president or a leader asks the military to run a government, that is called a military coup. Now, there's certain ways that a martial law could be enacted, usually by a governor of a state, but not on a federal level. So it'd be unconstitutional. How do you feel about that? I mean, I don't believe in it at all. But let's say you're one of the foot soldiers and you're like, well, why are we here, Sergeant? I mean, these are U.S. citizens. It's martial law. We have to follow the orders and take away their guns. How are you going to feel about that? Especially if you knew that it was unconstitutional and therefore illegal. How would you feel about that? We have Social Security. A lot of people call it an entitlement. Some of it call it a benefit. What do you think about it? It's a tax. And the Supreme Court said it was a tax and it was not insurance. And that's how it got passed. So it's an entitlement by virtue of the fact that politicians made a promise that you would get some money when you retire if you did what they said all those years of your working life. So it's based on a promise from a politician. But the reality is they can spend that money on bullets or band-aids or your retirement. It goes into the general fund. There is no Social Security fund. There's a set of books that they keep with a ledger that's maybe called Social Security, but it goes into the general fund. It's no different than the military fund for buying guns. As a nation, we're inundated with problems, higher taxes, too high taxes, property taxes, which are basically unconstitutional. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? Did you know that? We have a Board of Education, EPA, all these things. If you had to stand and fight and you were a school teacher, would you go against the Board of Education, the Department of Education? Because they have no right. They do not exist in a constitutional republic. So they're unconstitutional. How do you feel about that? You're a teacher. How do you feel about that? The founders used to say, well, if there's poor people, don't make their life too comfortable because they'll become lazy. Let them suffer in their poverty and maybe they'll pull themselves out with their own bootstraps. And we have all these safety nets and social nets and things that make our life maybe more comfortable, but aren't correct. How do you feel about that? There was a lady in history that petitioned Washington or the Congress for her husband who was killed in battle, and she had no money. She was about to lose the estate. They told her no 5 times. So there was no VA bill. There was no benefits package back then. How do you feel about that? See, all these issues are very important to us today. They weren't when the Constitution was written. There's fish floating up in the ocean, dying from toxic waste. How do you feel about that? The EPA has no constitutional authority. It might have some act that gives it some pseudo-authority, but has no constitutional authority, and I shouldn't have to fund it. How do you feel about that? Do you think any of these are good or bad? These are questions you need to think about when you choose where you're going to stand on issues. And we might find ourselves standing for some of these values. People are for and people are against Planned Parenthood and the funding thereof. They have their agendas and they're standing on that issue. Private property. Let's talk about property. Back in the day, see, you had to be a landowner to vote. Now, you didn't vote for presidents and senators back then. You just voted for representatives in your community. Everything else was done through being appointed a senator by the Congress, who was elected by you, or by the Electoral College because the electors were picked by representatives in your area voted on by you. So you didn't really vote that much at all, just for a representative. So you had to be a landowner to vote for a representative because you had a stake in that community because you owned land. You were just some drifter that blew on through and go, oh, it's election day. I'll vote on issues I have no idea what you're talking about. And that's why women couldn't vote, because back then women didn't own land. Didn't mean they couldn't. They just didn't. Women voting in the 17th Amendment, I think, whenever that was passed, was because they had screwed things up so bad that now we voted for senators and now we voted for presidents. But back before that heap of garbage, you voted for a representative in your community. You voted for a mayor. You voted for a sheriff. And if you weren't a property owner, really your opinion didn't mean anything. So how do you feel about that? Because that's the way it was. So if we did away with the 17th Amendment and we now appointed our senators to do what we tell them to do, and we only elected representatives from our community, things would run better, because we would have our representation back. We don't have it now. So these are issues when we talk about rebuilding the Constitution, because the society has collapsed, that we need to think about. Standing armies, we talked about that. How do you feel about that? Because it's not constitutional to have a standing army. And the founders warned against the standing army because they had been up against the King of England their whole lives, even when their families were back in England 600 years ago. Rome, once they fell, they had their standing army. That's why the army could not cross the Rubicon, because then they became a standing army that the Senate could say, go enforce our rules here in Rome. That was a breaking point for Rome. That's when they started sliding off the cliff and collapsed, when Caesar crossed the Rubicon. So how do you feel about that? Should we still have a standing army today? I don't know. I mean, the world hasn't collapsed. Everything seems to be running smoothly. So, well, who cares? But when that day comes, and we all know what that day is, when SHTF happens with a bang, it is the end of the world as we knew it. America is trash. The economy of the world is trash. Everything's chaos. You know, post-apocalyptic scenario. And we're going to want to rebuild what we have. That's the goal, usually, for standing, right? It's like, got to stand up and fix something here. Are we going to rebuild America the way it should be? Or just, we're going to go back up copy to 1920? Yeah, because we have a backup copy of that. Let's restore to 1920s. Oh, wait, why don't we restore to the 1800s? Why don't we restore back to when it was ratified? No, let's just restore back to Y2K. Everything was good then in the 90s. No, I'd rather restore back to the 80s because everything was good then. So where will we restore to? And it is my belief that we should restore back to the ratified Constitution, because that's when it was perfect. It was best. Everything else has been added to it. So when you stand and where you stand will be important, because will you be fighting for principles that we believe are principles now that support a failed ideology that was added to the Constitution? I mean, a lot of people, I'm sure, are union. I have no problem with unions. They take away your freedom for me and you to sit down and go, I can't pay you that much, but I'll give you room and board, and I'll give you a company car, and while you're learning, I will teach you, and then you can work your way up the ladder. Well, we can't do that, see. You can't accept that offer, and I can't give that offer because of unions. How do you feel about that? Do we want to fight for that? Or do we want to go back to just free America, where people can make a fair exchange. I go to the survivor down the street and go, I got a pound of beans and you just killed that beef. I'll trade you. Okay. See, fair trade. That's what free markets were. How do you feel about our economy? I mean, everyone says we're a capitalist society. No, we're a free market society. How do you feel about that? We got a lot of people preaching for socialism. How do you feel about that? Because socialism has failed every time it's been tried, just like democracies have failed every time they've been tried. Now everyone's like, oh, it's like we don't remember that we watched this episode of Gilligan's Island 80 times in the past. I guess not. So how do you feel about that? These are questions you need to simplify and sharpen and hone down and remove the clutter to get back to what it is that you want as an outcome from your position of where you're standing when that day happens. And most people maybe wouldn't look at it that way, but that's my job to go, yeah, we'll all stand, but where? I mean, you know, I was talking to a city councilman, almost a year ago, and we were talking about the town's, economic prospects, and he goes, well, you know, the city is practically bankrupt. He goes, in fact, the only reason we're not bankrupt is because we can do some maneuvering to keep that from happening. And I guess I shocked him when I said, well, that's good. I hope we go bankrupt. And he's like, what do you mean? And I go, first of all, if the city is bankrupt or not, it does not affect my life. The water is pretty much mandated by the federal government that I have to have drinking water. Garbage is not a problem because I have a dump trailer. I'll just throw it out. I don't need you to pick up my garbage. It's cute. Neat truck and all. But I don't need that. I go, the city does nothing for me other than provide water that I need. And if you couldn't even provide water for me, I think I could deal with that too because there's water. And the only reason I can't drill a well is because the EPA won't allow me to. So I go, quite frankly, I don't care if the city goes bankrupt. I go, why don't you close the public pool? That costs $400,000 a year. He's like, well, but people count on that. I go, so let them build their own damn pool. So I wasn't, I guess, understanding just what it was that he was trying to tell me. It's like, to him, the city's going bankrupt. To me, it was like, so what? In fact, if I want to be in a constitutional city, your public pool and all this regulation would not exist. So if you do away with the golf course that you guys seem to think you love so much, that would save a lot of money because it's in the red, $150,000 a year. Do away with the public pool. Stop driving around harassing people about weeds in their yards and actually do something. I wouldn't need the city at all. In fact, there's nothing the city does for me that I need. I can handle it all without them. So my point is that if it were an issue in a collapse, he's like, we need to fight to save our city. I would be the person going, what are you talking about? Nobody cares about your city government. In fact, we did fine before you incorporated this garbage can called a town, and we would be fine after you go bankrupt. So I choose not to go stand over there with you on this issue because you bring nothing to the table as a city. So that was me drawing a line that on this issue, I do not stand over there. And it's that way in every aspect of federal government. If someone came to me and said, we need you, Mark, to pay more taxes because the school needs more books, I would say, no. Well, we're going to start a bond election. Will you buy a bond? No. because I don't agree with the education system the way it is set up by our federal government. Go get the money from the feds who took it all from us. But don't ask me for a dime. And in fact, they have bond elections all the time for these colleges, these local community colleges that are going broke. And it's like, don't they teach economics at that college? Because it seems like they're always over their budget. They haven't learned how to write up a budget and follow it. Why the hell would I go to that school when they have no business sense and they're a business college? No, I will not buy a bond. No, I will not vote for this initiative that wants to raise my taxes so we can go off over here and pick daisies and sing kumbaya. No. So these are issues that we will all face when that day comes to stand. Where will you stand? And it can be as simple as a school board going broke to your right to bear arms. We all draw lines in the sand all the time. You might be in the Oath Keepers, but what oath? See, this goes back to when I said, where are you going to stand? Because the oath of the Constitution to uphold that means enemies foreign and domestic. And it means the Constitution, the real one. Protect the citizens and protect their rights. I've had sheriffs tell me that when you say, well, you can't do that, it's against the Constitution. It's unconstitutional. They go, yeah, I know, but that's my job now. I have to follow orders. You know, I'll get fired. Oh, so my constitutional rights be damned as long as you keep your job. Those are people that are in the Oath Keepers. So not bashing Oath Keepers. But just because they say they're Oath Keepers does not mean they understand the oath they are keeping, which is to support and defend the Constitution. And that means protect my rights, mine, the majority of one, me, my rights, my private property, my right to carry a gun. And a lot of the members that I've met that are in Oath Keepers were sheriffs and police officers and chiefs of police from counties that had to enforce gun laws. No, they didn't have to. They could have fought against it and they could have quit. So once again, you have to look to the people that you might be standing with and go, I disagree with you 100%. I'm going to go stand over here. And when all of a sudden it collapses and the tide comes in and washes all the lines that we've drawn off the sand, where will you stand? What will be the hill you will die on? To me, it's freedom and liberty. Nothing more, nothing less. I am free. This is my property. These are my rights, God given. And that's it. You have problems with your neighbor's color of his house? Don't come knocking on my door because I don't care. So yes, I will stand, but I will stand far over there fighting for principles that most people will think didn't even exist. And we all need to make those choices. We do it every day in our family lives. We need to go see Cousin Bob. No, he's a drunk and a bum. Yeah, but I've got stuff to do here at home. I'm not going to waste $700 in 3 days to go to Bob's just because he's got a stomach ache because he's suffering from alcohol poisoning. No. So it's the same thing. The difference is on that day when everything falls apart, where will you stand? And it's those kinds of decisions that I think we need to look for. Will we fight for a system that has let us down for the last 150 years? Or will we fight to rebuild a system that was perfect 200 plus years ago when they ratified the Constitution? And only you can make that decision. And the only way you can make that decision is to understand the Constitution. So I'm going to take a break. We've talked a little bit about the choices you'll have to make. Now we'll wrap it up.
Shelby Gallagher here, letting you know the second book in my book series, A Great State, is set for release on October 28th. Book 2, The Aftermath, is a continuation of the story from The Divide, where our main character, Julie, a single mother, preps for a collapse. Her story is one of overcoming, strength, and prepping as her community crumbles around her. Sound like recent headlines? Book 2 continues the story with tragic details of what life will be like for those who don't prepare. Pre-order your copy now at my website, agreatstate.com.
Let's wrap this all up with some thinking projects. So we all know we're going to stand. Duh. We're patriots. That's what we do. We may not know where we're going to stand, and that's where I brought up all these issues to think about, from city issues to family issues to federal issues to state issues. So how do we sharpen that razor to where we can cut through the BS and find a good hill to die on, so to speak? Because when that day comes, we will all stand and we will die on the hill that we choose to die on. And that will be the fight we choose. So whether we're standing over here or over there or somewhere else, we may die on that hill. So I, for one, you know, do a lot of study and research. And I look at issues probably more than I should. I mean, granted, I go down every rabbit hole. I'm the kind of guy that finds kind of it relaxing to read, study, and watch very dry information on human nature, the way we are, biochemistry, even politics, on a historical level. And so I find joy in it, and it's not that hard for me, but there are people I know that go, Mark, how can you read that garbage? But it's not garbage. It's just, to them, garbage. So you have to find people that you can trust, that you can start answering your questions. Hopefully I brought something to the table today to where you go, huh, I should think about where I'm going to stand. Where am I going to draw that line, and what hill will that be on? So simplify it. I would hope that you would go, I'm going to start my journey at the Constitution because I believe in America. I believe in that dream that once was, that light on the hill that was, you know, the ratified Constitution that gave us what we have today. So I'll start there. I recommend the 10th Amendment Center. They have a website, and all the 10th Amendment Center, a lot of great articles, podcasts, videos. I share a lot of their content on my Facebook group at Facebook Prepper Guy, however you find that. Chris Ann Hall, she's a constitutional lawyer, really gets into some of the deeper issues and how it really works, not how we would like it to work, you know, but how it really works. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association, CSPOA.org, I think. Sheriff Mack founded that. He's a great constitutional sheriff. Those are starting points to kind of go, what am I looking for here? Because you can't really fix something until you study it enough to go, oh, I see what it's doing and what it's not doing and what it's trying to do. Let me see if I can figure out the problem. So start there and start looking at things. And it really is pretty simple the more you immerse yourself in it. If it's something about the Constitution that makes the government or forces the government to protect your rights, then it's a good thing. If they want to tell you how to live and what kind of guns you can and can't own, that's a bad thing. It's pretty simple. People that talk about, you know, gun control are on the wrong side. Don't listen to them. Don't study their stuff. Don't even watch them on the news. Just skip it. But when you hear somebody talking about, like, the NRA was founded for slaves to own guns to protect themselves after the emancipation and all that, and yet they turn it around and say it's a racist organization. How can it be racist? So when you hear that, see that, and you study the NRA and you go, oh, those people over there are lying, so I'm going to stop listening to them. I'm not going to engage in their stupid banter. I'm going to go over here and learn about this, and then I can make a choice. So this is the information I will absorb and think about. And this garbage over here is really like a babbling child that makes no sense. Why would you try to understand it? They don't speak English yet. So it's easy to separate. And then, you know, we've talked about it on the show in the past. You need to have your focal point. You need to know what you believe in. And so I talked about that focal point off in the distance, and they'll move the window called the Overton window, and you will freak out, and then they'll move it back, but you're not back to the same position. So you need to keep track of that to where you can keep moving your window back in the right line. Because once you have that set of values, the morals, and I'm not talking about just, you know, morals like with church, but like what you firmly believe in vehemently about how you're going to conduct your life. If you keep that in focus, then it makes the search easier for knowledge. Because anything that runs contrary to that, you should be diametrically opposed to that. And it's not saying that I'm right and he's wrong, or you're right and they're wrong. These are your values, and that is where you look for your direction, your landmark. When in doubt, you can always look to your values and your principles and your integrity and go, that's not who I am. I'm not going to do it. That'll help you stand in the right position. Because if you're looking to your values and who you are as a human being, and you're not a sociopath, because I don't think they have a focal point, then you're always going to find yourself standing in the right place, because you'll be with people that are like-minded, that believe in the Constitution, that believe in limited government, that believe in your rights. When you tell somebody, that clown from planning and zoning came and said, I need to get a permit. I've had people tell me, yeah, you should probably do that. And then I've had people go, that's just crap. We should do something about it. Those are the people I want to stand with, because they understand the reality of private property. So I hang with them. Doesn't mean we get together a militia and go overthrow the city government. It just means that they're not the talking heads of the capitulators that go, well, they told me I needed to get a permit to change my water heater. So I did. It was only $50. It's like, only 50 bucks. Send me $50 every time you want to do something stupid. But they are the people, the builders, those that live in a different bubble. They might have to get a permit because they're contractors. They work for other people. But when I talk to them about it, and they're just like, well, you shouldn't fight City Hall. Just get a permit. It's only $500. Get your impact fees. It's only $2,000. Have your drawings drawn up. I know a friend, he's an architect. He'll do it for $1,000. It's like, excuse me, but that's pretty much the money I just spent on my footings and my stem wall. Why would I give that to someone else and have nothing to show for it other than appeasement to some bureaucrat that sits in City Hall and just robbed me with a smile on his face? So I don't learn from those people. I just go, yeah, I'll think about it. I don't engage them. I don't get into trying to teach them the right way of dealing with government. I just go, yeah, maybe you're right. I probably won't see him for another 6 months. By then, my house will be built. What do I care what he thinks? I lean toward the people that go, well, that's crap. You know, I have a friend that's a lawyer that if you get into trouble with the city, he's won a lot of those cases. They can't make you do that. That's BS. Oh, well, now, if I had to stand today, I'm going to stand over here with you. So you have to have that values, and those values will tell you where to stand. They're your compass to get to that place to where you will stand. And you will most likely always be standing in the right spot if you have your core beliefs, because they're always there. You've seen people walk into that point throughout your whole life. People that you've met that go, Yes, this is the way we should fight this. No, I think we should just, you know, sing Kumbaya. So you watch them going in that direction, and you know that all the people that are of like mind are going over there. So when it's time to stand and you go, where am I going to stand? You look around and you go, oh, those are all those people that they're just like me. They want America back. They don't want to reset back to 1980. They want to reset right back to ratification. That's where I'm going to go stand. See, it's complicated, but it's not. But it does take some noodling it out and trying to figure that out, you know, with what's right with you, who you are. Because no one can tell you where to stand. Only you can do that. And if you're paying attention, you'll see like-minded people standing in the same spot. And you'll find that the people on the other side that are wishy-washy, mealy-mouthed snowflakes won't have big groups standing in one spot because they're so diversified, they don't know what they believe in. One minute they're standing over there with the coffee drinkers, and the next minute they're standing over there with the tree huggers. Whereas people with values will all be standing pretty much in a couple big groups. The trick will be when you're asked to do something that you'll really need your moral clarity. Because if I'm in a group and they're like, we're going to fight for the Constitution, we're going to take back our country, and then we're going to do this, and I see that they're not going to respect human rights, and they're going to become a religious zealot or a monarch, then I walk away. See, it's like, nope. George Washington was a good guy. Probably would have been standing with him. I think we all would have. And when all of the losers went to him and said, we want you to be our king, he said, no, we just fought a king. What are you talking about? Well, you know, it had its good points. George Washington said, no, thank you. Went back to farming. Finally, they kept coming after him and going, please, please, run for president. He's like, okay. But when they asked him to do something that ran diametrically opposed to his beliefs and what he'd fought for, he said, no, thank you. And he didn't follow. He walked away. And that's where I hope all of us will not become like George Washington, because he wore a funny wig, but he was a bootlegger. Actually, he was a moonshiner. The day will come. Trust me. Just history dictates that all things collapse. And things end badly. That's why they end. So we will be asked to stand. We will all answer that call and stand because, well, what the hell else are we going to do? The question is, where will you stand? And I hope that at least pointing out some of the abstracts in this question will help you maybe go back to some of the things I've said in other shows about finding your balance, your focal point, getting your compass straight, getting your morals straight. Talking about with God, just being a moral person, finding out how far they've moved that window on you to where you can turn the window back and go, there's my view. That's what I want to look at. So these questions help us realize the importance of being grounded, to hanging on to something that's going in the right direction. Like in a blizzard, you have that rope and you hang on to it. Because if you didn't have that rope there, you'd be lost and you'd freeze to death and die. Hopefully you've put that rope there for your life to where you can follow it back to safety, comfort, family, a warm meal, whatever it is that you find valuable, take you back to a constitutional republic. And if you keep stringing that rope in the right direction, when that day comes, you grab onto that rope and you pull yourself back. And that's the whole point of these exercises. It's like, who am I as a person? What do I believe? Because we all believe in America. But if we allowed the noise to make us think that the president's the commander-in-chief, that we need the Senate to approve a budget. No, we don't. See, we've allowed it. And the biggest kicker is, if you really study the Federal Firearms Act, I'll throw this in there just to set off all my Second Amendment loving people. If you read the Federal Firearms Act, it does not apply to U.S. citizens. And you can look it all up. It only applies to territories and provinces. So that federal law not only does not apply to U.S. citizens, the same as every federal law ever written, but it cannot be enforced by even your local areas because it's unjust and unconstitutional the way they're trying to enforce it. If they enforced it the proper way, it'd be fine. It'd have no problem. So these are issues that we allow to muddy the water. And because we're good people, when somebody says it's the right thing to do, we go, what do I got to lose? It's okay. It's not going to bother me that much. But when you heap 100,000 of those onto the pile, pretty soon you suffocate and you can't, there's no going back. And when the weight of all that garbage collapses our civilization and that thin veneer of civility goes away, we will all be standing in a post-apocalyptic America. And hopefully I will see you on the same hill that all of the other constitutional patriots are standing on, that want to go back to the real Constitution. And so it's important to all of us to know who we are. And you can't learn who you are when it comes to weighty issues like the Constitution. So you have to pick issues that are important to you and then learn about them. Not just read the sites that make you feel good, but reading the ones that talk about legal constitutional issues. Because trust me, it will make you feel good when you find out that you have always had the right to bear arms. And the only problem is the local yo-yos that are enforcing federal laws and trying to take away your rights. And so now that you know you have that right and it was never taken away from you, then you just have to elect better people, get more people to stand with you on the right side of history and an issue, and fight and win. And if you can't win, then be that person that resists much and obeys little, because that's how we can fix it. And really, a sheriff could probably save America, because all counties have sheriffs or constables that are elected. That person protects your rights right in your neighborhood, is the chief law enforcement officer in your county. No one higher, not even the governor, because the governor is state. County is closer to the individual that has all authority. So you need to get good sheriffs. And that way, when anti-NRA group shows up and says, hey, we've all decided through a democracy and mob rule that you can't own that gun now, your sheriff shows up and arrests them all and says, get off this guy's property, because next time if he shoots you, I'm going to be out here helping him dig your grave. That's how it would work. So in my opinion, it's already hit the fan. We are already off and falling into the abyss. And we're just like England back in the day, thinking that because we have a roof over our head, because we have a job, and because the taxes just aren't that oppressive, that's fine. And you know who Ireland and the Highlanders are? It's all the enemies they say they are. And we get all riled up. So we are back in history, following a king called the media that tells us how to live, how to think, and how to feel. All right, well, I think I've said enough. I think I've beat this dead horse enough. I hope this helps you question your direction of where you will stand when you stand. And I hope we're all standing and similar places. Talk to y'all later next week, probably. Adios.